It's business tip time. Whether it's marketing, sales, operations, etc., I'm bringing you quick tips across a variety of topics to help elevate your business. Let's get it. Hello, friends. Today, I am interviewing Taylor Shoup, co-founder of Stance Socks and founder and CEO of Future Stitch. We did an interview yesterday that you'll want to make sure to listen to. And today, he is giving us a business tip on how to set up a manufacturing business, pitfalls to be aware of, and things that he wished he knew when he got started. So with that, Taylor, I'll kick it over to you. Thank you so much for imparting your knowledge on us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. So a lot of people have asked me over the years to help them with production management. You know, I have a friend or a friend of a friend that wants to start a product company, and they want to know about how they should go and find the best supplier for their business. And oftentimes, I'd say more often than not, the entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur wants to manufacture in China. So they call me knowing that I've built a factory there, and they want to know the ins and outs of Chinese manufacturing. So my first word of advice for entrepreneurs here is to try to avoid China for as long as you can. I know it sounds weird because I do so much there. But the minimum order requirements are so high and the logistics are somewhat challenging that you have to invest a lot of time, a lot of resources, and you have to buy a lot of inventory. And as a business owner that has been in the inventory game for about 2 decades, I know that carrying too much inventory can really hurt your business. When you tie up that much capital, you often don't have enough money to support the other sides of your business, sales, marketing, your internal personnel. And so building an infrastructure around your supply chain that is more local is going to allow you to buy less, but also be able to buy at a much faster cadence. Since you don't have the long production lead times and the long transit times, you can produce much more regularly and therefore have a much higher inventory turnover. And what you'll see after your first or second product launches is that you always forget something, or there's always something you want to add. You gain some market knowledge, or yourself after wearing or using the product realize that there's just something missing and you want to make changes. When you have a ton of inventory on hand, it's hard to make those changes. You're always second guessing them. You want to burn through the existing inventory before you buy anything new. So even if the product is much cheaper coming from overseas, I would still try to make that product here first. Margins are always gainable. You can always make more. What you need to do is build for the consumer first, and then the margins will follow. So that would be like my big, I would say, tip is to try to avoid manufacturing at scale before you need it. And then I would say in making an assessment of your supplier or potential supplier, I would absolutely evaluate culture first. Do they believe in the vision? Are they honest? Are they good people? Are they trustworthy people? Do they fit the values that your company holds dear? Those are the things you want to make as an assessment first, just like you would do in hiring somebody. You want to look at really the makeup of that person and even their soft skills first before their hard skills. And then what I like to do is I like to create a criteria where I can sort of quantify some of the different elements associated with what I need from a supplier. So maybe like course costs, lead times, how long it will take to make the product, scalability, meaning like room for expansion, payment terms. I want to try to get as long of payment terms as I possibly can. Think collect early, pay late, like one of the fundamentals of doing business, right? Buy low, sell high. Like you want to make sure that you have long payment terms. Evaluate the facility. Is it clean? Is it a locale that you can be proud of? Is there a good work organization? Their ambition, their product quality, right? Likeability, going back to that culture. I would table that in Excel, and I would look at as many different suppliers as you possibly can. In the US, you might be somewhat limited, but there are still good pockets of manufacturing capabilities here, especially manufacturing in more engineered products, things that are maybe more capital intensive, less labor intensive. So really approach that. So that sourcing, like you're looking for a partner, almost like a co-founder, not like some supplier that you can swap out, and then treat them well. You know, you want them to win just as much or almost as much as you want to win, because if they're feeling like they're they're winning, they're going to put more into that product. They're going to treat you better. They're going to maybe even bring new innovation opportunities to the table. I often think of the difference between Nike and Under Armour. I've been to both campuses and both innovation labs, and you know, you go into Under Armour's, and I sort of kind of have to be careful about what I say here because they are a customer. But it's more like it's like Disneyland, like when you go into the Haunted Mansion, right? It's like very theatrical, but like most of it is fake. And you go into Nike's, and it's like the machines are whizzing, and like all the suppliers have representation there, and they're all like talking and sharing, and you know, and things are actually happening. You know, the Under Armour mentality has been like, let's get like our products for less and longer payment terms. And that's really what we consider first. Whereas Nike's like, let's put innovation first. Let's put quality first. And then the other things. I'm not saying that they don't evaluate the quality, the cost, but they do put these other things higher, and they actually incorporate those suppliers into their work zones. And I find that really special. I think the days of the zero sum mentality are over in sourcing. You really got to figure out how you you win-win, and those partners will be there with you for life. I mean, when I started Stance, our first supplier is now one of my partners in my facility in China. I've worked with him for 12 years, and is a person that I can rely on for anything and everything. One of the most trustworthy, kind, and gracious people I know. And the reason why our relationship is so great is that, you know, we've both treated each other with respect. So I'd say that's, you know, really that second part, that's really important. And then when you go about actually making an assessment, make sure that you ask for as much information as possible. Another reason why local is so important is it allows you to go there and actually see how things are made. And when you're on a factory floor, you're able to identify things that maybe you didn't know that can enhance your creative ideation, can help your team to develop a better quality product. So, you know, going there is really, really important. And even if it's overseas, decide to go overseas, make sure you go there as well. Have some FaceTime. I know it's tricky right now with the pandemic, but, you know, having FaceTime is a really important part of building a really good relationship. And when you get down into, you know, the costing and the quality, make sure that you ask them for a bill of materials or a BOM. That way you're able to compare the product qualities and the costs, apples for apples. Set the criteria, set it up in Excel. You may want to ask for one first so you know all of the inputs, and then you send it out so that you're able to make a fair judgment call as to who you're going to go with. Those are my tips.
So helpful. So let me ask you something. How would you even go about finding a supplier stateside? I feel like we always hear everything's made in China now. Is it through network, or what advice would you give to someone who doesn't even know where to start?
Oh gosh. So, I mean, an easy one is Alibaba. Of course, that's, you know, one that, you know, you can find 100 suppliers for each and every product. I think what I've been most successful at doing is going to trade shows, and they're still happening. Even some in the US where, you know, suppliers are coming from overseas. I love trade shows because then you really, you know, can start to measure the cultural fit by having that FaceTime. Saves you a lot of money and a lot of time. And companies that go to trade shows, largely, they're there because they have the funding to do so, and they're probably a pretty well-run organization with, you know, some global ambitions, which I think is really critical. So I think that is probably the best. But I mean, search your connection base on LinkedIn for friends of friends that may be working at a company that makes similar products, and ask for those connections. I mean, referrals are always going to be the best source of information. The last one is that there are web services. One platform is called importgenius.com, and it allows you to search bill of ladings, like where products are coming for different companies. And so you may, you know, find some company that makes something similar to yours that may be a company you want to emulate, and you can easily find their bill of lading and discover where they're manufacturing. And all then it takes is just a Google search, and more than likely they're online, and you can email them directly.
Love the tactical tips. So much of the time people are like, well, that was all great, but now what do I do? So I love the mix of strategy, tactical tips. Like, this was all so wonderful. I had a manufacturing idea a while ago, but we had just bought our house, and I was like, yeah, it's probably not a good
not the right time.
Yeah. So now that I know this, I can pursue it when the time comes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. People, if they listened to the last episode, they heard where to connect with you, but can you quickly tell us where folks can find you and your company?
Absolutely. You? LinkedIn, Taylor Shoup, S-H-U-P-E, or you can go on my Instagram, Future Stitch, or just T Shoup. It's my personal. So please reach out.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you giving us your time and your talent yet again. And I'll see you next door.
I'll see you next door. Hopefully have you guys over soon. It'd be real fun.
Yes, would love it.
Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. If today's episode added value to your life in some way, please subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone who needs this. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram and hear how the show has inspired you. So tag me or slide into the DMs. Find me at Corporate Dropout Official or Alicia Citro. That's A-L-E-S-S-I-A-C-I-T-R-O and 2 underscores. Until next time, remember that you're a badass. Stay focused, stay hungry, and dare to drop out.